We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
I'll be honest with you, I'm not so sure there'd be too many people want to play us.
Rex Ryan, New York Jets coach, feeling pretty good about his football team. That's what he said just the other day at a New York City radio station. We've talked about the Bills draft for the last week or so. Let's focus in on some of the other drafts from the AFC East, including the New York Jets. We are live on the line right now with the senior reporter and team insider for NewYorkJets.com, Eric Allen. Hi, Eric. Thanks for being on with us tonight. We appreciate it.
Murph, always great speaking with you, buddy.
Rex Ryan feeling pretty good about his team coming back. That should not be any surprise, right?
No, it's no surprise, and you guys know that in Buffalo, and the Bills fans know this. So Rex Ryan is a very confident person. He's confident in his own abilities, and he's always confident in his roster. And listen, last year the Jets finished up an uptick, winning 3 out of 4 to close the year, finishing 8-8. A lot of people thought they were going to be maybe like a 4 or 5 win team before the season started, and then they made some improvements in free agency and went in the draft with the NFL high 12 selections. And I think they did some good things, addressing depth and adding some speed and getting some more talent in there.
Yeah, I want to talk to you about the draft, Eric, but it occurs to me that, like the Buffalo Bills, a lot of what the New York Jets might accomplish this year rides on the shoulders of a second-year quarterback. In the Jets' case, it's Geno Smith. Do you agree, or is Michael Vick looming in the background to take over?
I think you're exactly right as far as what is the key to the Jets' success this season is who's going to be a quarterback. I think the Jets made it clear when they did sign Michael Vick that, hey, listen, we're really happy with the way Geno Smith progressed at the end of last season. Michael Vick is brought in to push Geno and hopefully take the second-year quarterback to the next level. Even Vic Murph has said on a couple occasions now that Geno Smith is the starting quarterback of the New York Jets. I think they've improved at that position because last year they went into the season with Geno Smith, who never took an NFL snap before, and Mark Sanchez got hurt in the preseason. They had Matt Sims behind him last year, so the Jets went into the 2013 season with two guys on the top of their quarterback depth chart who never taken an NFL snap. Now you bring in a guy like Vic, who had success under Marty Morningweg. So I think that they're happy with the depth they have at the position, but I think the Jets are clearly sending the message out is, hey, listen, Geno Smith, he's going to be hard to beat up.
Yeah, and that's exactly what Rex Ryan say. Let's play that cut from his radio interview yesterday.
It's not just, hey, this is Geno Smith's job. I'm just telling you what I believe to be the truth, which is this young man is going to be hard to beat out. Even as a talented player as Mike Vick is, I think Geno Smith has made that big of strides. And, again, the proof will be in the pudding when we play this thing out. But, that's my confidence in him.
Rex Ryan talking about Geno Smith. Eric, what does Geno Smith have to do better this year? I mean, the 21 interceptions last year sort of jumps off the paper at you right away.
Murph, that's it. I mean, the Jets fans have seen this now the past 3 seasons. But Mark Sanchez, the 2 years prior, led the National Football League in turnovers with, I believe, 52. And Geno turned the ball over 25 times in all last year. He started protecting the ball better down the stretch. Like I said, he had only 2 interceptions over that last 4-game segment. And what you saw from him down the stretch, Murph, is he started seeing the field better. I think he was making decisions quicker. And he also, when he didn't have anything, he wasn't forcing things. He was picking up yards on the ground. And I think Vic actually can help him there as well because, you know, you're talking about in Vic, only quarterback in NFL history who's passed for 20,000 yards and rushed for 5,000 yards. So he's played in that Morningweg system, and he's made a lot of headway on the ground himself.
We're on the line with Eric Allen, senior reporter and team insider for NewYorkJets.com, talking about the Jets. And in the draft, Eric, 6th round, Taj Boyd, the Clemson quarterback, was chosen by the Jets, but he may not wind up playing quarterback. Is that what I hear now?
Well, Rex was asked about that today, Murph, after the Jets' first minicamp workout. The rookie minicamp started here at Florham Park today. And he said, listen, we're going ahead with him at quarterback. But he obviously has tremendous running ability, so he didn't rule that out in the future that he could be tried somewhere else. But no, I think for the foreseeable future, Taj Boyd is a quarterback, and I think he's going to compete with Matt Sims for that number three position.
Let's start at the top of the Jets draft for a second here, Eric, and the selection of the defensive back, Calvin Pryor, with the 18th pick overall, pretty widely applauded as the right guy in the right place in this draft, huh?
Yeah, you know what? Huge hitter, Murph, and the Jets last year were juggling around at safety, and you guys know that after the bye, I believe that was Ed Reed's first game with the green and white, and
yep.
He came on and played with the Jets the last seven games or so. But, you know, it was a position of need, even though it wasn't talked about too much heading into the draft, because the Jets' problems on offense have been well documented, as well as the cornerback position, because they released Antonio Cromartie before free agency started. So a lot of people thought, hey, either it's going to be a wide receiver or a cornerback. But they were delighted that Calvin Pryor was there, the safety from Louisville. Seven interceptions throughout his career with the Cardinal, but a monster hitter. And the word that struck me that Rex Ryan told me about this kid is he's an enforcer. He's going to force that middle of the field. And he also is very rangy and was a playmaker for Louisville. So he'll step in from day one, and he'll be patrolling back there for the Jets secondary.
Second round, a tight end, Jason Morrow out of Texas Tech. It sounds like he's pretty confident, and it sounds like, again, a pretty good fit for an offense that is in desperate need of some receiving weapons.
Well, you're right. Listen, the Jets averaged 18.1 points a game last year. That was 29th in the National Football League, and they still were able to win eight games and go .500 last year. But Amaro is going to add to that 31st-ranked passing offense, and what is the quarterback's best friend? You know that, is a tight end. And he really broke out at Texas Tech last year. Yeah, yes, they split him out wide a lot, 106 receptions, over 1,300 yards, but Murph, I interviewed him the other day. This guy's a monstrous dude. He's 6'5", 250-plus pounds, and, you know, you're going to have to pick your poison. You're going to put somebody small on him, and he'll use his height and box you out. But if you put somebody big on him, he can stretch the middle of that field. He can get downfield, and he's also a very good runner with the football after making the catch. I think before that second day, a lot of Jets fans would have thought that you had to move up in that second round to get maybe a Marquise Lee, the receiver out of USC, or a Morrow, but they stood right there while, you know, they examined potential trades. But I think John Isaac might have thought the price was too high, and they sat there, and Jason Morrow felt it up.
We've talked about three Jets draft picks, Boyd, Pryor, and Amaro. They have nine other draft picks. Among those nine, who do you think are the most significant, maybe the most impactful picks the Jets made?
Yeah, I mean, I'll start right there with the third round, Dexter McDougal from Maryland. A lot of people didn't talk about him before the draft, but I mentioned to you the cornerback position. The Jets are in a transition mode there. I mean, Dee Milner is, ready or not, here we come. He's the number one cornerback because the Jets did release Antonio Cromartie and Crow signed with the Arizona Cardinals. It was the number two position, expected to be filled by Dimitri Patterson, the former Miami Dolphin. But the Jets were really high on this McDougal kid, Murph, who played only in a couple games last year, or three games with the Maryland Terrapins before hurting his shoulder while making a tackle. He had off-season surgery, but tremendous speed, also very physical, comfortable in the man press, can play inside or outside. I think the Jets have high hopes for him. I anticipate him playing a major role here early on in the 2014 season. And then you go right there to the fourth round with a pair of receivers. The Jets finally addressed the receiver position in the fourth round. And Jalen Saunders and Shaq Evans, I think, could play big roles for this offense because, so I'll start with Saunders first, Murph. I think he's going to be the team's primary punt returner. Lightning fast, I think you'll find some ways, game plan specific, to get him out in space because he's a Jet. I watched him out there at camp today, and he can straight out fly. And Shaq Evans, you're looking across from Eric Decker, who's going to be that number two receiver. And Shaq Evans did some nice things at UCLA, and I think he might challenge for that number two receiver spot.
You know, Eric, when I mean, last year is in the past, and you do look, excuse me, back at last year, and the two Bills-Jets games, I feel like the September game, week three, you saw the worst of the Buffalo Bills, and maybe in the November game up here in Orchard Park, you saw the worst of the New York Jets. It certainly did look like a split if you watch those two games, like it should have been a split.
It was unbelievable, the differences in those games, Murph. The Jets down the stretch, they were thinking, hey, we're in this thing. We could be a playoff team, 5-4, heading into that bye. And I remember a lot of people in New York, anyway, the tabloids had fun with the Jets going to Dave and Buster's the Saturday night before they played the Bills, but they just laid that goose egg. And you saw the worst of the Jets there, a post-bye malaise. And that started out in Buffalo, and then it carried on in the following week in Baltimore. And that offense just couldn't do anything. And Geno Smith was struggling mightily. But then they turned it around at the end of the season. And vice versa. You looked at a Bills team, and you were like, wow. I mean, that's the way you thought the Bills were going to play throughout the season, too, because they got that pressure with defense. Jarius Spurs is no longer there. I remember he had a big game that day. Yeah. And E.J. Manuel was throwing that ball through that tough Buffalo wind, as we both know.
Yeah. Well, it's always interesting. These are some of my favorite games, Bills and Jets. Should be again this year with the addition of these draft picks. Eric, thank you very much for coming on the air with us tonight to talk about it. We appreciate it.
It's always a pleasure, Murph, and I appreciate being on every time.
Thanks. Eric Allen is senior producer and team insider for NewYorkJets.com, talking about their big haul in the draft, 12 draft picks, including Calvin Pryor in the first round, the safety from Louisville, Jason Morrow, the tight end from Texas Tech, in the second round. And they were 8-8 last year. They had, they split with the Bills. They were 8-8, though, a couple of games better than Buffalo. It's going to be interesting again when the Bills and the Jets hook up this season. The Bills will play at the Jets right before their bye, 8 games in, Sunday, October 26th. And then 4 weeks later, Sunday, November 23rd, the Jets are here to play the Buffalo Bills.